If Reality Check Radio enriches your day and life, support us to keep bringing you the content, voices, perspectives, and dose of reality you won't get anywhere else. Visit www.realitycheck.radio/donate.
Welcome back, everybody. You're joining me, Natalie Cutler-Welsh, here on the Up Your Brave show on Reality Check Radio. We are going to talk about financial literacy. Next up, I'm talking to Tanya Kravchenko about the jelly bean theory, financial literacy, and mindset. Welcome to the show, Tanya.
Thank you, Natalie. Thanks for having me on.
I checked pronunciation of your surname, but let's do the first name. Is it Tanya like that?
Tanya, yep.
Got it. Thank you so much. So good to have you here. For those of you that may not have met Tanya before, her background is in chartered accountancy, where she had various roles extending her skill set. And this enabled her to open and operate her own accounting practice and have the benefit of understanding the requirements of her diverse clientele, especially small business owners and entrepreneurs. Over time, Tanya has seen a gap in the financial literacy of younger generations, which led to her writing The Jelly Bean Theory. Following encouragement from others who have read her book and supported her in life choices, she is passionate and motivated to share her vision of educating financial literacy and mindset skills to benefit young people, enabling them to also have the ability to make positive life choices and achieve the most that they can in their lives ahead. Tanya, I love this on so many levels. Some of my audience knows that I started off originally, this is about 15 years ago, as a parenting author. So my background is parenting, and I love that you are helping to empower the youth, especially around this area of financial literacy. How did you get started in this area? How did you come to being a chartered accountant and decide to focus on helping the young people?
What happened for me is I woke up one morning 6 years ago and wrote, probably 7 years ago, and wrote 3,000 words. I never knew I was an author. I started off journaling every day. And then the next morning, the same thing happened. I wrote 3,000 words. And it was all about money. What is it about? Is it to make, how do you make it happy, you know, yourself happy with money? And I'd been through a sad separation, and I thought, you know what? Money does not make you happy. It's actually what you do in life with it.
Yeah.
And that's why my book came about, because I wanted to teach the young people that, you know, if you do what you love, the money will come. And that's what happened for me. I've always loved doing accounting, always loved working with clients, and I've also loved making big changes. And no matter where I've worked or played or talked, that's what comes out of me. And now it's in the book form, and now I want to teach it in schools. So I went to Manurewa High, my high school, talked to the head of the alumni. At the time on the board was John Hines from Hines Pipes, and he said, Tanya, I'll give you $3,000 and you can print 100 books for the children in the school, because they don't have mentors like you did. And I didn't know what he meant till I went into that classroom and taught. And I'm like, I was so grateful I had mentors that I did. And it was my mum and dad. And there's only two things they told me every day was, I love you, and there's no such word as can't. In other words, you can do it.
What a foundation. And
yeah, you don't need money for that, Natalie, as you know, being a parent. And if someone believes in you and sees the beauty that's within and what's possible, you can do anything. And the money just comes. It's come my whole life. In my book, when I was 25, I won First Division Lotto with my husband. And at the time, I needed $3,000 to pay my brother for a car. And I was, you know, wishing for it or manifesting, whatever you want to call it. Some people say praying. But it came. I got lotto. I got more than the $3,000. I had enough money to buy a home for basically cash in Epsom. And that was the start of my money journey, my big money journey with my husband at 25.
Wow. Well, that's amazing. I mean, that's something that everyone kind of dreams of or aspires to, is to win lotto. How did that work out for you? You know, a lot of people say, oh, a year later, it's all gone. I mean, obviously you put it into a house. That was a good move.
And that's me. I always put it into bricks and mortar. I put the whole lot into it, into bricks and mortar. And my husband and I borrowed money. I've got my MX-5 convertible. I've still got today. And he bought his Holden. And we bought our furniture and things like that. We also partied solidly for 2 weeks, and I got hives all over my body, and I had to stop drinking wine, and it was not good. But he wanted to carry on partying, and I said, no, I want to do more. And sadly, we parted, and I was fortunate to meet my second husband, who taught me the best thing in life you can ever be taught, and that the only limiting factor in your life is time.
Interesting perspective. Yeah,
it's not money, it's time. And, you know, if we all did time budgets first, then the money budget, do you know what will happen? You'll get both.
Mm. Tell me more about that. Like, if someone's thinking, well, that's it. For number one, for me, that's intriguing. I'm intrigued by the concept of a time budget. What does that look like exactly? Like, I'm very much into priorities, like, put the time where your priorities are, the things that bring you joy or the things that are important to you. How do you do a time budget, just briefly in a few minutes?
So briefly, okay, you've got 24 hours in a day, Natalie, and your first thing you should concentrate on is sleep. That's 8 hours potentially, so that's a third gone, okay? Mathematician here. Second thing is usually work, okay? Now, if those two are not in sync, as you know what happens in life, sleep might be less and work might be double, depends what's going on. Then you've got 66% of your time gone. So only a third is left for everything else you want to do in your life. And I'm the opposite. I want to spend 66% on the good stuff and a third on sleep. And if work can come in as last and be passive income, then you don't have to work it. And that's why I chose bricks and mortar, because I grew my wealth through bricks and mortar. While I was sleeping, house prices were going up.
Yeah.
So unfortunately, it's gone crazy and hard for some to buy a home now. But I still think it's possible. Anything's possible if you really put your mind to it.
Well, your attitude is amazing. And a lot of people kind of veer away from the financial discussions because it's uncomfortable or they feel like they don't understand it or it's confusing. So let's go back to the name of your book. And I'd love to ask you, what is the jelly bean theory?
Okay, I'll read it out to you, Natalie, and I want you to answer for me, okay? So the theory is, if I gave you a jar of jelly beans and said, this is all the money you will have in your lifetime, what would you do with it?
I would probably divide it into like three other baby jars, you know, like the spend, the save, and the splurge. Is that the other one? I've heard of that as a parenting thing, what they can do with their allowance. So I'm going to go with that.
Okay. If you had no fears, what would you do with it?
I would put it where in a place, you know, meaning invest it or spend it in a place where I feel like it's going to have the most expansive impact for people, because I'm super obsessed with creating impact and helping humanity.
Okay. Anything else? What's the riskiest thing you would do?
I don't know. This is a great question, because honestly, I'm like, I have no idea. I'm just thinking on the spot. I mean, I would love to create a holistic health healing center with all the people that know all about those things. So I guess I would maybe go bricks and mortar. I maybe would create like a physical place, a center of sorts, maybe like more of a retreat type place that people can come to for like a weekend of healing, where different I'm building it on the spot. Now different practitioners would come in for different events and such. That's probably what I would do.
Did you see how your mindset changed?
Yeah. Well, first I went
for questions.
Yep.
Now, you went into auto mode, then you went into, I'm really thinking about what I want, and then you went into heart-centered mode.
Yeah.
And that's what I teach.
Nice.
Listen to your heart. What's your heart saying to you? I can call it soul, but kids understand heart, right? And you know what really makes you wake up and get out of bed every day and makes a smile on your dial, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it's not just paying a mortgage off. I tell you that for free.
Yeah, 100%. Absolutely. That was cool because I was, you know, and I literally said, ooh, I'm creating on the spot, meaning I was kind of, and I'm visual. So I see this vision of this retreat or center. And, but yeah, which is a tangent of something I've already thought of, but because you were asking me and we didn't pre-rehearse, it was just me in the moment. So thank you for the question and the space to answer.
Can I just propose something to you? A school can be in the cloud. A retreat can be in the cloud.
I know, but I love, I know.
It's all changed now.
I know. And if we want to have expansive impact, obviously doing it online in the cloud. But honestly, I feel like I want to come back to old school, in-person, actual.
Then you can borrow that piece of paradise. Just saying, when you go out there as a seven-year-old and think, you know what, I'm going to have a Ferrari. This was me. I want a red Ferrari, right?
I've never wanted a car. Like, I've never been like, ooh, I'm going to have an Alfa Romeo when I grow up. I've never had the vision of, anyway, carry on.
It'll come at the right time. There's a perfect timing for everything. But I was tweaked by a friend that came to visit my dad. He had a Mercedes. I thought, my dad's got a Holden. What's a Mercedes? You know, that looks really cool. And yeah, I'm a magpie, they call me, and I like shiny things. But you know what? It doesn't matter. It does not matter. You can give me a label. It does not matter as long as it makes you happy, you're doing what you want. And that's all that matters. Forget about anything anyone ever calls you. You have to ditch that. Just stay true to you. And that's what, with my mum passing last year in August, she taught me that. She goes, I said, Mum, would you do anything different? And she said, no, nothing, no regrets. That's and to live a life like that is pretty amazing. At 24, she was a mother of four children at 24. One was 10 and one was, I think my brother was two. Four children at 24. I said, Mum, I was traveling the world at 24, you know?
Mm. Yeah.
Just thinking about me being completely selfish, you know?
Well, absolutely. And I'm sorry to hear about your mom. And I'm just sitting with it because I interviewed somebody else this morning and she also lost her mom last year. And I know a lot of people are going through this. So I would love to send big love to you, Tanya.
Thanks, Natalie. Yeah.
And anyone else in our audience, and there will be many, who has recently lost their mom, especially a mom like yours, who it's like, imagine dying with no regrets. Like that is, that's something I aspire to.
Only thing she ever asked my dad for was carpet. she vacuumed it every day. She was a bit clean freak in it, and it was threadbare, so she asked for new carpet. That's the only thing she ever asked my dad for.
Classic. All right, let's talk about financial literacy and specifically around young people, because I know that's a really important area for you. What are some things, what are some tangible actions that people can take or things that they should really know that will help them around their own personal empowerment, but specifically around financial literacy and mindset?
I do believe, like I did, read as much as you can. I read Rich Dad, Poor Dad. You know, Robert Kiyosaki was very good for me. Being a chartered accountant, you had to read finance books. That was a given. But also talk to people who have done it and know how hard it is to get where they wanted to be. It's not easy. But if you believe in it and know you're going to make a difference, it's worth it, you know. And if you're giving a good product or service, why not? But build a tribe around you that will support you, give you the information that you need, and don't be scared to try things. My first job was a paper round. Next one was a dairy girl. Next one was an office girl. And then I thought, no, I'm going to get a degree in accounting. So I worked for an accountancy firm. And then I went for a bigger company, you know, what's called FMCGs. And I'd go into big companies and go, oh, yeah, I can do this. And then I got a role as a financial controller, which turned into group financial controller for a company in Australia, New Zealand, and Fiji. And it's just like the boss goes, you're 28, can you do it? And I go, yep. I don't know I could do it. I was like shitting my pants when I left that interview, but I did it. And I did it with him well. His company grew and he managed to sell it to an Australian company in the stock exchange. So around financial literacy, I just think do the best that you can with your money, with what you want to do, and avoid distractions. If you want, you know, a pair of Nikes, get one. Why get nine? You only got 2 feet, you know? If you want, like me, the Ferrari, well, I still haven't got it. I've had like $4 million worth of assets, but I still didn't get that Ferrari. You know what I mean? Like, it was never that much of a priority. Mm. And, yeah, we get your priorities, like, and how you want to get there. You can appoint an accountant or a coach or a financial advisor. There's also really good, like, Sorted is really good, working out your budget. I mean, mm-hmm. a money budget, again, comes down to third, third, third. A third is usually your mortgage, a third is your bills, and then a third is for everything else you want in life. And when you change that to get rid of your mortgage, then you've got a third spare. And that's what I did when I hit 40. Actually, I never had a mortgage since I was 28, to be honest. I always had rentals and the tenants paid it.
Nice.
But at 40, I could just not work, look after my daughter, and have a 100K mortgage-free house in the bank, you know? So that's how I wanted my life to look like. That's how I want to grow entrepreneurs. And it just gives you that financial freedom. And that's what we all want, is to do what we want to do. We don't want to be tied down by, you know, these jobs and bosses and rules and all of that. You need freedom in life to be able to grow and be happy and be smiling, not be stressed, you know?
And a lot of people are really stressed about money, not having enough and all the things. With the one-third, where do groceries fit in? Is that a bill or is that the everything else?
So that's part of your what I call fixed costs, you know, in accounting terms. So you got your mortgage is your biggest one, your cost tip for a roof over your head, and then everything else is bills, like your power, your phone, your insurances, you know.
And groceries goes in that category.
Yeah,
that's what I'm
talking about. Yeah.
For people that are listening, we'd love to hear your thoughts. How do you feel about your own financial literacy? Let's say, would you give yourself on a scale of 1 to 10, 10 being amazing and 1 being crappy? How are you? Let us know. 2057 on the text or email inbox@realitycheck.radio. What else, Tanya? Any other tips or things that we should know about in order to set ourselves up well for financial literacy? What about the mindset? Like, a lot of people are like, you know, you got to work hard, money doesn't grow on trees. Like, any other mindset strategies for us today?
I think definitely ditch those limiting beliefs. And when you do what you love, the money will come. And I said that earlier on in the show. And every time a coconut, when I'm doing what I love, but the money just comes. And the best gift I was ever given was my child. And she taught me so much about money. I could not get pregnant. And don't know why, no reason, but then I got given her and we adopted her. And through my daughter, I taught her the value of a $2 coin by going to the coin shop. And my daughter would barter with me, discuss with me, demand more like it as a two-year-old, I want this toy for $4. And I said, well, Sophia, if you save this $2 coin and the one next week, then you can have it.
Yeah.
So that taught me the discipline straight away of A, saving, and B, waiting. And then you know what? When that next week came, she wanted something else. Isn't that just normal human behavior?
What I'm loving from that is I'm writing this down. It's never too early to learn how to save. She's 2 years old and you're going, yep, next week you just save that one and then you can have the $4 toy. Never too early to learn how to save.
At 8 years old, she was doing her own wardrobe.
Buying it?
Yeah. I gave her $200 a season and she'd go into Kmart and she'd find the best bargain.
And here's the thing. When I first met you, you know, you and I connected through, I think you did my frequency course, and then you also are friends with Bridget, who's a previous guest. You and I connected, I think it was on FaceTime, and you were busy because you were busy buying a horse.
Yeah, we bought the second horse.
Yep. You may not have a Ferrari, but you've got a couple horses. You're doing good.
That's enough.
But you're walking your talk, and you're your languaging is really in line with what I often talk about as well. And I kind of say, if you don't love it, don't do it. And that's really around business, my realm, you know, when people are looking at what are the services or offerings or programs that they're going to deliver. And I'm like, if you don't love it, don't do it. You know, don't do a webinar on a topic you hate. Don't offer a service that you've been doing 5 years just because you've been doing it 5 years or just because someone wants it. If you don't love it, don't do it. So I agree with you. If you're doing what lights you up or what you love, the money will flow. How can we have money flow more freely?
I think when you have a positive relationship with money and living a life of abundance like I have, don't get me wrong, I'm human. At times I go, I need a, like now I want $2 million for a financial literacy school, right?
Right.
So I spoke to the crowdfunding person. Do you know what she told me this morning? Tanya, that's a lot of money, $2 million. And she also said that no one's ever done it. So do you know what I'm going to do? Prove it wrong.
I know exactly what you're going to do.
Because you know why? In a world where there's billions and billions and billions of money, we've got this thing called the cloud. So money can come from anywhere in the world. And if I tap into someone like Richard Branson and he goes, you know what, that girl's good. I'm going to give her $2 million. She's got a good idea and I believe in it. To him, that's just nothing, eh? $2 million.
Sure. Yeah, you got to pick your people you want to associate yourself with, of course. But and I agree when she's
watching. You never know who's watching.
Yeah. Hey. When she says, "Oh, Tanya, that's a lot of money," and you can kind of be like, "It is and it isn't." You know, it might be a lot of money, but you know, and then it's like, "Well, no one's ever done it before," and you're like, "Sign me up, let's do this."
But it's really a house in Auckland now, isn't it?
Yeah,
Natalie. You know what I mean? It's like people go, "Oh, it's so dear to buy a house." And I go, "No, it's not." If you get three other flatmates, it's cheap.
Mm.
It's doable.
So what I'm hearing from you with that is, you know, it's easy to fall into the pitfalls or the potholes of like, oh, it's too hard or, you know, gosh, it's so expensive in Auckland or whatever. But you're like, no, let's rethink that. You know, no, if you have two other flatmates, it's actually totally fine. So if we can just, I guess, inviting ourselves to rethink about how we can still get the thing we want, whether it's the house or the Ferrari or the creating a center for whatever. It's like, we might want to do it differently, get some partners or put together a proposal for maybe more than $2 million. That might just be your starting point.
It is a starting point, definitely. But once I get that village around me, and that's the most important thing, the people that believe in you, then you believe in yourself 10 times more. And then once people believe in you, that's what the universe hears, you know, like, and then that message goes into so many different ears and you're going like, yep. And then the money just flows, honestly.
So people that believe in you or people that believe in your vision or both, you know, so your vision is creating this literacy school.
I've been told through my marketing company that A, you got to get credibility as a brand, right? Mm-hmm. And behind my brand is me, the chartered accountant that I've been working in numbers. First job was IRD since I was 18, right? And now I'm 57. So that's 39 years with numbers mm-hmm. and business and red tape and lots of conversations about money. And now we've had COVID and that just flipped me because I'm like, you know what? This is creating so much fear that's unnecessary and businesses are still struggling.
Mm-hmm.
And now New Zealand has got unfair tax laws that you to be an investor in property is hard, to be self-employed is hard, and they're just pushing you down again and again. It's like, you know, who's going to provide houses? Who's going to provide businesses? Who's going to give jobs? You know, like, come on, give everyone a break. And they're working, I see, and my nephew said to me, Auntie, my friends are 37, they're brickies, they want to commit suicide because they cannot provide a roof, a food and shelter. And a man said to me, if he cannot provide a roof, food and clothing, then he is not being a man. He's not doing his job. And they want to commit suicide. I said, that's really sad. It's not necessary, Natalie.
So I'm hearing you and I'm putting these two things together. Earlier we were talking about, you know, if you do what you love, the money will flow. And now we're like, times are tough. It's really hard. We've been pushed down. The taxes are brutal. And brickies are killing themselves. So how do we, where do we go from there?
Well, I think let's start talking, guys. And the brookie boys have got to start. And I say to the men, please talk. Because you know what? Us girls are good at it. And we want to help you, but you got to tell us how, because we got no idea. And us women want to help you, the wahine. And the wahine also want to help each other. And we can do that by putting our crowns on as well and saying to each other, this is how we can help our men. And, you know, I've got three brothers, three nephews, and now two great nephews. And it's like, you know, these boys, males, are in a world where women's roles have changed dramatically, Natalie, as you know. We've become as busy as them in full-time roles and jobs, trying to just make ends meet, raise the children. But our lifestyles have become so dependent on money, and it's not necessary.
Mm-hmm.
We want to travel. We want the boat. We want the Ferrari. We want the, you know, the nice wardrobe. We want the good gym membership, blah, 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 and the big bottles of wine, you know. It's like you don't need all that.
I think some people listening will be thinking, well, I don't want the boat and I don't want the Ferrari. I literally just want the groceries and to not feel stressed and strapped all the time. So how do we help people have more financial literacy, spend the money they do earn well, and create more?
What as I grew up as a, you know, one of, there was five kids, and mum and dad, dad was a mechanic, mum sewed, right? So mum sewed at home, dad worked for Winstones, building the trucks and everything, and taught all the apprentices. And what I learned from mum and dad is that, yep, you can do those things, but they were still both there for the family. And dad had a veggie garden that we ate out of, and we had a family member that had a farm, so that gave us our meat. And for fun, my dad was the best storyteller. Hello, what did I end up doing? But they would chuck us in the car, take us for a test run, and 9 times out of 10, the car would have to be stopped and looked at and checked, and then we'd stop right on the side of the road and meet, talk to a goat. And he always named the goat Tanya, which was very nice, thank you, Dad. And he'd tell stories the whole way. And that was our fun outing. And my dad died when I was 21, and I miss him like hell because I miss those stories and the laughs, you know. And that's what it comes down to. The memories you make are not from the physical, tangible items. It's from the relationships.
What else? Sorry to hear about your dad. That is very
sorry
sad.
To throw that in, but
no,
yeah.
That's, you know, I'm thinking of my dad now. Of course, my dad lost his dad when he was 19. So yeah, it's, I mean, that's all the things they miss out on seeing you do. But I'm sure he would be proud of you, your storytelling, and your book. So let's talk a bit more about your book. What are some of the chapter titles, or, you know, walk us through a little bit, because in a moment I'm going to ask you how people can buy it. It sounds like you only have so many copies, but can you walk us through some of the content that's in there?
Okay, so the book actually starts off with the first chapter, which is called The Jelly Bean Theory, which I just briefly discussed with you, Natalie, put you on the spot. Then the next one, it's about something an accountant doesn't usually say, and it's not all about the money. And this came to me when I was sitting talking to a psychologist about my late, you know, my ex-partner, and she said, Tanya, pick out a word on the table that resonates with you, and the word famous came, and I said, I'm going to be famous for saying something, and it came into my book. It's not, life's not all about the money. Chapter 3 was a coin safe theory. I talked to you about my,
you know, Jesse J wrote a song about that. Well, was it, it's all about the money, or it's not about the money, you know, you don't have to worry. Anyway, carry on.
I love it. I'm going to play it now.
I'm going to play that after too.
The other one is the coin save theory, which my daughter, I told you about. And then the next chapter was from real to not so real, meaning when I grew up, and you did too, Natalie, you saw physical money. And my nephews never did. Mm. They always used credit cards. I mean, well, not credit cards, but FPOS, debit cards, whatever you want to call them.
Yeah.
They, and internet banking transfers. And then when I put physical cash in their hands or in their Christmas presents, they were like, whoa, auntie, $100 note. I'm like, yeah, that's your present. And to them, it's cool. But if I did an internet banking transfer,
yeah,
do you know what they think that was? Oh, that's one with two zeros. But in their hand, it's like, whoa, a red note, that looks cool.
I gave my kids each a silver coin. I thought they would be more impressed than they were. But anyway, it was a Canadian silver coin.
But it's amazing. I did that to a little 2-year-old in my office recently, like last year, And the kid looked at it, and the mum goes, he's never seen money. And I said, you go next door, you give that to the man at the counter and tell him you want to buy a cookie. And that is what we took for granted when we were little.
Who would have thought?
And imagine that interaction. He's going to have to talk, number one, which I made my daughter do when she just sells.
Same, absolutely, always. They order for themselves. Exactly.
My daughter sold doggy biscuits to make money to buy her horse, right? And she never would talk. She'd dress up beautifully, have her bag of doggy biscuits, go to the house with the biggest dogs, and she'd sell her whole stock in one hit.
Wow.
Born salesperson. I go, Sophia, what's your pitch? What do you want them to do? And she'd go, look at them and smile, and I just give them money. And I love that kid. So the other one is, does money bring you happiness? And I use the analogy of, you know, the really wealthy people like singers, you know, famous singers like Madonna, and she's one of my favourite singers, but she ended up breaking down crying in a concert that she went to in New Zealand, you know, in Auckland. And I thought, because she was happy, she was going through a court case with her ex-husband about her son, and I thought, even they have problems like we do, and sadness, and at the time, her stage members, you know, who were on singing with her, thought she was joking. She's asking for a tissue, and then she said, don't worry, I just used my hand, because no one would bring her a tissue. And I thought, where's the empathy, guys? Do you know what I mean? They thought she was joking. So anyway, one is fears around money.
Yeah.
And I grew up in the mindset of scarcity, watching my mum every week put out dad's paycheck and put it into pockets or envelope, so to speak, and say, this is for the mortgage, this is for power, phone, blah, 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 and this is what's left for food. Do you know what I mean? Yeah.
But and you didn't seem to adopt that mindset, the scarcity.
But I did, because I became an accountant. I thought, I'm going to learn about money, how to make it.
I'm going to understand it and then really do well, because I don't want to do that envelope thing. Right.
And also, when I got my clients, I saw their scarcity. They could hardly make 100K profit. So what did I do? I didn't charge them the $3,000-$4,000 fee I could have. I said, nah, just give me $1,500. I'm happy. Yeah. So I still haven't got the Ferrari for that reason. I thought, nah, I'm happy chappy. They got their accounts done. They can keep the IRD happy, and they can just, you know, tick that box. But I give them, you know, financial tips along the way, of course, of how. But I always ask my clients, what's your why? Why are you an electrician? Why are you a builder? What do you earn money for? And they just look at me and go, what do you mean? I said, well, you've got to have a reason.
Yeah, because quite often, I guess, would they say, oh, it's because of what I trained in, or this is my degree.
It's less than that. It's more like, I just have to get up and work. That's what I have to do.
And sounds so defeated.
But also, they were self-employed with an employee mindset. And that's why I want to grow an entrepreneur with that risk-free mindset. Mm-hmm. And this is what's missing in schools, is don't live in that state of fear. COVID did that to people. And it's still lingering in our business world, because people are scared it's going to happen again. And I'm going to say it will. That world, I mean, you know, economies go up and down. They always do. And the COVID wasn't extreme. Auckland was tested to the max, as you know.
Yeah.
And grants ran out. So let's see what National can do. I don't want to make this a political spiel, but I get quite involved with Andrew Bailey, Minister of SMEs now. And I say, Andrew, what are you going to do for the hard worker? Cut the red tape.
Yeah.
You know, too much. Give them time with their families, you know, and their loved ones. That's what's important.
I agree. And I think if small businesses were, you know, supported more, because they hire people and they give people that, it's not exactly freedom lifestyle, but for me, I was like, I do not want to be in a full-time job where I leave at 7, come home at 7, you know, high heels, whatever, and never get to do the mom stuff, you know, pick them up, take them here and there. And I was able to do all of the mom stuff and be there whenever I wanted, because I'm totally my own boss, which is totally what I'm built for. But it's not for everyone. But I think, imagine if we all were more able to set our own schedule. And if we, you know, coming back to the time budget that we discussed at the start, imagine if we were actually more empowered around our own time budget and not having to show up and clock in as such, and work such hard hours.
Well, we're not robots. And I put that in my book. You know, we were never meant, when you go back to, you know, when we first started, I mean, you can say we were monkeys, I don't care, but say, when we first became human beings, we roamed, you know, we got up when the sun rose and we went to sleep when the sun set, that sort of thing. But it's more about, yeah, being in touch with your being, you know, your inner being. And once you do that, oh, the freedom is amazing and the stress lifts and you just feel so much better. And you can't put money on that. I'm sorry, your health is your wealth. I mentioned that in my book too. And now, you know, with Dad passing when I was 21, that was just like, whoa, Dad was only 56. That woke me up. I'm now 57. I'm 1 year past what he made.
Yeah.
And that's when it gave me that appreciation. It's like, you know, thank you. I made it past 1 year more than my dad. And but now my friends are turning in their 60s and I'm just watching what that's going to look like, you know, the next decade for them. And it's actually an interesting age. And thinking, you know what, when are your best years going to end? And when are you not going to have that choice? All your money's just going to have to go to your house, you know, fix your broken teeth or your wobbly hip or whatever it is. I'm a pretty deep thinker in that respect, but I always do think, how do I want my last, you know, breath to look like? And before that, all the chapters of my life, so to speak. And I want them to be full and full of fun and love and laughter. And if I can change just one person's life, I'll be just so happy. You know what I mean? Just show them that there's hope. You can get whatever you want, no matter what. Just don't ever, ever give up. Don't give up on yourself. Believe in you. Invest in you, number one. And then number two, just don't give up.
Well, you're definitely doing that. And I'm going to turn things around and come back to you with a question, you know, similar to what you asked me. And I'd love our listeners to ponder this as well. If you had $2 million, what would you do with it?
So, Natalie, my answer to you is, I do want this financial literacy school. I've found the land, the positioning. It's on 6 acres in Whitford. And it's got a beautiful 1840s red brick Granger building on it, which will be the main classroom, so to speak. The rest of my school will be in the cloud. But I also want to provide what you said, a place where people can have a retreat, a well-being place. And in life, there's things we need to learn about to survive, and that's how to build shelter, how to make our clothing, and how to eat, how to grow our food. And those three classrooms will be there but in its physical presence on this piece of land. And I want to welcome anybody in who wants to use it. It'll be made available to anybody using corporate funding, because I'm sure corporates will come on board and go, hey, I'm willing to sponsor one child to learn how to grow one pumpkin or one carrot or one broccoli. Do you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Or one child how to cook it. Because end of the day, we've got to know how to feed ourselves. And it's not out of a packet of potato chips or a loaf of white bread like some families are living on.
Yeah.
You can get a big, good meal out of a cauliflower or a cabbage. You know what I'm saying? Or an apple tree. So it'll be a massive orchard. And that's how I want to live. Go back to our basics. Live like a village as a tribe. And we look after each other. It's that simple.
Yeah, and it's foundational skills that a lot of them have been lost. So the accounting of money, you know, the financial literacy, the building of, as you said, building of shelter, growing of food. And what was the other one? Making clothes?
Yeah, making you make your clothes.
I used to be a bit of a sewer back in the day when I was a outdoor instructor. I used to take bits of material and make like quilt, you know, pants and things like that. I was very much into hand sewing, not so much a sewing machine. We would love to hear from you, 2057, on the text. If you know what you would do if you had $2 million, let us know. Tanya, if you were to truly up your brave in 2024, what would you do?
I'm going to create an app And I'd like everyone around the – I'll make it affordable so everyone around the world can subscribe to it from any age. And it teaches financial literacy. And there's a reward for everybody. Yeah, that's what I'd do.
Awesome. My kids are doing Duolingo, and there's something about the regularity of that, you know, when they talk about their streak or whatever. Every night it's like, oh, I'm like, good night, sweetheart. And he's like, oh, I haven't done my Duolingo. And then they have to go, which is learning a language. One of them's learning Japanese, and they have to do their Duolingo every day. So maybe if there's some sort of thing that they do on the daily, which helps them towards their goal, but also teaches them stuff in your app, that could work.
It's definitely designed like that, Natalie, and it's totally... It'll become second nature. Like I did when I did journaling, I started off 5 minutes and then I just did it every day. And then what came out was who I am today. The real me came out from journaling. And I had to dig deep to find that. And then once you say to someone, like I say to you, what is it you really, really want in life? And you told me that retreat place, do you know what? It'll happen because you want it to. Number two is that you'll build this village around you to help you make that happen. And then the other thing is that you will never give up, because I know that you know it's for the betterment of everybody, not just yourself. Mm. And once you live a life like that, it's how we should all be living, looking after each other, loving each other, not shooting each other. I just do not like what's happening with the wars, but it's for some reason someone thinks that's a good answer. It's not. It's not helping no one.
Well, I've got different views on that. I think it does come back to the money as well.
Yeah, but also I would not sit love to have a son to see him in a war. I would not let anyone take my son away from me. That's who I am. I would protest.
I know. And I guess what I'm saying is I think some of those wars are funded by different countries
It's called egos, actually, Natalie. It's all about egos.
Just a moment ago when you were reflecting back to me about this retreat center, I wrote down healing weekends, because even though I do run retreats, you know, and at the retreats, there's, you know, vitality time to relax and sit in the hot tub and have a champagne, but also photo shoot and also business learning. The healing weekend would be totally different. It's basically going, people who want to heal, to go to the land, you know, go away from your laundry pile, go away from your to-do list, you know, get out of your normal scene and whatever. And maybe then there'll be healers that do their thing there, and there'll be grounding, and there'll be, so I just wrote that down, healing weekend. I like the idea of that. I would sign up for that, and maybe I can make it happen for other people. So thank you for that question. So what are you courageously creating at the moment? Meaning, like, what is coming up for you in your business? I know you've got this book, but you're going to create this center. Is there anything else you're courageously creating that you would love to tell us about?
I've created under the Jelly Bean Theory, what came to me, and a very beautiful man I met by accident at a cafe in Maraetai, and he's an ex-gang member, he lived in America for 40 years, and he was a management consultant and turned over many companies. And he said to me, Tanya, you know what? You need to talk to women, and you need to show them what you've learned and how you've helped the men in your life and how you've loved men, and also how you can get through it through your mindset. And I've created a brand called Wahini Loving Wahini, and Bridget's part of that because she's one of my Wahini. You are now too, because we all want the same for everybody, is to be at peace and be happy and feel loved, you know. And wherever I go now, I quote that to women. Remember Wahini Loving Wahini. And as we are nurturers, we need others to nurture us and keep us propped up and keep us, our tank going, you know what I mean? And don't empty your tank, because I've done that about 5 times, I think. And it's not good, and it's hard when you're with a person who's got a mental illness and you cannot help them. And that's what emptied my last tank. And it's like, you know what? Lithium drugs they're giving him are still not helping him. And I tell him, but that's what he's been told by the best psychiatrist in Australasia. That's what you need. And I'm like, well, really, how is it serving you?
Mm.
And this is where I come from. Everything we need is in the ground.
Yes.
It's around us. and the food and everything will help you. And mental health, yes, it's a big passion of mine. My birth mum committed suicide when I was two. And it's like, you know what, end of the day, we've all got our journeys, but we can also have our success stories. And that's what I want to build, is success stories. And in my book, there's four of them. And one is about a child who wanted a dog. And the mother said, no, it's not the right time. And then I said to her, when is the right time? Which is a chapter in my book. The other one is a man who was a widow and he wanted a house and a boat and da-da-da. And he had this big flash house. I said, well, you can cut that up and have both. So we did. So examples like that. And then one was a solo mum who wanted to be who was my illustrator, raise her children and do what she loves and not earn much as a creative, which I'm learning as an author, you don't earn much, but you love it, so you do it. So, yeah, it's
amazing. I'm going to jump in and ask you, because people will be wondering, where can they get the book? Like, so how can we connect with you online? One of the things I love about you, Tanya, is you're just so real. You're just so who you are. You've been through more tragedies than I realized. And thank you for being so transparent with us today. And just, and you just feel this call to help people, which I love. And it's so beautiful. How can people connect with you if they relate to, you know, some of your stories, whether it's the financial literacy or the losing parents at a young age, whatever, how can people reach out to you? How can they buy your book?
Okay. So my website's www.thejellybeantheory.com. Mm-hmm. So the word that has to be in it. Okay.
Got it.
And then I'm on Insta, TikTok, and Facebook.
TikTok, go you.
And you want my email address too?
Well, are you on those platforms as The Jelly Bean Theory?
Yes.
Okay. No, that's great. And then, no, we don't need your email address. I will put most of the info, everybody. I'll put it on the replay page. But if you go to www.thejellybeantheory.com or else on any of those socials and look up The Jelly Bean Theory, you should be able to find Tanya, no problem. Before we wrap things up, is there anything else you want to share with our audience today?
Oh, yeah. You can buy my book at the website too. Okay. You can buy it online. Yeah. It's not ebook yet, but it will be. But for now, it's on there. Okay. And I've got copies available. So that's not a problem.
And you'll post them out to them directly.
Yep.
Perfect.
Yep. It's all automated. So, yeah.
Okay. Anything else you want to share with us before we go?
I just want to say thanks, Natalie. It's been quite fun, actually.
I'm so happy to chat with you and to share some of these things and the importance of financial literacy and mindset and The Jelly Bean Theory. Congratulations on on your book. It's a massive undertaking to write a book. So thank you for joining us today.
Can I just share one more thing or no?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. My second book's coming out. It's for 8 years old and up, and it's called Charlie the Cyclist. In 16 pages, the kids will learn how to do a budget, business plan, and set a goal.
Amazing. Love it. So for age 8 up to what?
Adults can apply it, you know.
Anyone can benefit. Thanks so much for joining us today. We've been talking to Tanya Kravchenko all about The Jelly Bean Theory, financial literacy and mindset. Thanks for listening.
Thank you.
If Reality Check Radio enriches your day in life, support us to keep bringing you the content, voices, perspectives and the dose of reality you won't get anywhere else. Visit www.realitycheck.radio/donate.